Well, welcome to In the Classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary. I'm Dr. J.P. Mosley, teach systematic theology and biblical studies here at the seminary, as well as the academic dean and registrar. With me is Dr. Maynard Curtin, president of Heidelberg Theological Seminary. And once again, we're here, and he's got three books in front of us. He has taught many of the courses here at the seminary. And one of them, we talked about worship last time, one of the other courses that he has been teaching for quite a while and he enjoys teaching is homiletics. Now, that is the technical term for preaching. And so he's got three books in front of us. And the one of them, interestingly enough, I had to read and took a class in college where it was an independent study with a professor. And one of the textbooks was Hayden Robinson's Biblical Preaching. And then Get Into Seminary. And it and one of the other books I had read in college were two of the main textbooks for my seminary class on preaching. So this is not only used at a college level, but then turn around, it's also used at a seminary level as well. I think it's just one of those types of books that is kind of a standard almost for here's what a good sermon and or preaching ought to look like. What else do you say here about
Well, the course that I teach in homiletics is an introductory course. We have several additional courses from that. I preach the beginning aspects of how to approach a text, how to begin to put a sermon down on paper, how to understand what it is that you're doing when you're preaching a sermon. And again, it's one of those areas where I could have this table full of books all dealing that are out there and a lot of good ones. But to start with a basic introduction in terms of covering the fundamental aspects, I found that Biblical Preaching by Hayden Robinson is a good starting place. One of the things that I particularly appreciate about that book, and there are different approaches to preaching. I think all of them have their validity based on a biblical principle. But one of the sort of phrases that's used about preaching is expository preaching. And I have found that that can mean different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And I think Robinson helps us to understand by what we mean by that is not just simply that you preach one verse and next Sunday the next verse and next Sunday the next verse and maybe three words and work your way on through from Genesis to Revelation. I'm not saying that you can't preach that way. That's an aspect of it. I understand the word expository means to simply mine the truths of God that are in the text, bring out what's in the text. But then the point is that at the end of the sermon, one of the things I like to, in the end of the sermon, I like to emphasize that preaching is not just re-saying what the Bible says. The Bible is the word of God, but preaching is for you to mine from that scripture, and then you speak it, and God uses you to preach the word to your people. And so I found that biblical preaching covers the various aspects of what's involved in doing that.
I believe it's in that book. Again, there's a whole host of books having been read that he even talks about the care that the pastor ought to have for his speaking voice, how the throat works. So he goes into more detail than just he gets into self-care. You know, I think it's a wonderful book because it also says, hey, look, I think it's in this book. You may not want to be drinking this before you have to preach.
Well, he talks about, I don't know if I remember that precise point, but one of the aspects of preaching, what I think is important to remember, that it is not just that somehow or other the preacher has said or spoken out loud some words that come from the scripture, but it also has to do with deliverance. Mm-hmm. So it has to do with eye contact. It has to do with hand gestures. It has to do with voice projection. It has to do with, we can call it preaching with passion or preaching with emotion. I tell the students that the Bible tells us that preaching is the word of life unto life and death unto death. And if you have any concept of what that is, and if you can't get passionate about doing that, you don't belong in the pulpit.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. One of the other things when we were discussing these books before we started was, and this is one of the things that I gleaned from Robinson early on, is the tone. Now, you used a different word. You spoke of the genre. Now, I think the genre has a particular tone to it, and that tone ought to be reflected in the preaching cadence, the preaching style, the, you know, fiery, calm, collected. If you're in a parable, are you going through the story? Are you taking them through the motions of what Jesus is doing? If you're doing a psalm, you know, that's going to have a different feel to it. And it's an aesthetic feel to it almost. And I think Robinson gets into that, where homiletics is a science, but it's also an art. And in Robinson and some of the other guys that you've got here on the table really show the blending of that, where there's the science of homiletics, of putting, forming, collecting, gathering, researching, getting the sermon, and then there's the art of delivering it, which there's a science behind that too, but it becomes something when it's done right. Use the word passion and emotion and stuff like that. It ought to be a beautiful thing.
The thing to remember, again, this book and other books and just what I cover in a classroom, but there is, of course, a certain amount of natural gifts that one has to have in order to be able to preach. It's true. Very simply, he needs to be able to speak. He needs to be able to and so on. But you mentioned the science of homiletics and the art of homiletics. What that means is that preaching can be practiced and learned.
Yes.
Preaching is not just something you automatically walk into the pulpit, open the Bible, and you do. There may be some who can get by with that fairly well because they have some history in speaking and so on. They probably don't do very well putting a sermon together as they ought to. But preaching is something that can be learned and needs to be practiced. And that's what we do here at the seminary. The students are going to have a fair amount of practice and with helpful critique from the professors. And at the same time, a sermon, when we're send our students out and they become pastors, we don't expect all of them to preach exactly the same way they're real. God uses the character of who we are to be able to preach and to meet God, bring God's word to his people.
And I think you said two things there that I think are worth just repeating, pointing out, and really getting at. You do have to have the gift. Ministers, pastors, are gifts. They're charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit, gracious gifts of Christ to the church. And so it's not like the chef in the movie Ratatouille where everybody can be a cook. I don't know, but I've tasted some people's cooking, and that's not true. Not everybody, they may be able to whip something up, but it's not going to taste good. So, and that's the case with preaching. And many of the books, we use that illustration of it's like setting the table. And, you know, so that's not a bad movie to go to. Hey, you know what? You got to set the table here. But there is a gift involved. Charles Spurgeon is one of those guys, no training, 16, 17 year old, started pastoring his first church. No training at all. And he becomes one of the most prolific preachers this side of the New Testament. So he's the exception. I think the other thing that you made a point of, and that is we have to study it. And seminary is only the beginning of that.
Absolutely.
And I think we do get guys that get out of seminary, get into the ministry, and stop studying preaching. And one of the things that I would do, this is personally, and I still do it to this day, I listen to preachers regularly. I read sermons regularly. And I had a, especially when I was in the pulpit ministry, I had regular guys that I would listen to, so that I can hear their cadence, hear how they tell that story, hear how they walk through that passage. That's what we mean when we say you got to study preaching. It doesn't mean you got to read every book on preaching. It means you need to have a few guys that you're going, I'm listening to them like I would listen to my pastor. And I'm studying how they're doing it. And then change it up. Add a different guy in, take a guy in, listen to a new guy. John Piper was one of the guys. That's one of the books you got here. We're going to get to that in just a moment. John Piper, for me, was one of those guys, and I got to hear him when I was in seminary. I know you've heard him before, too, in person. And when I did that, my homiletics professor leaned over and says, that's what I've been trying to show you. But the second book you've got here, for the second time here, is by Jay Adams, a well-known teacher in what is also called practical theology, ministerial studies. He's known for competent for counseling, but he's also written books on preaching. And you have right here one of those books that I think is, I'm glad you assigned it. And it needs to be assigned more and more. And that's Preaching with Purpose. We need to get guys behind the pulpit once again going, there's a reason I'm back here.
What I think is so important to remember when you think about putting a sermon together, when you think about preaching, is to remember the context. We spoke earlier about worship. Mm-hmm. Remember that preaching takes place in worship. So it's not just an academic exercise in which you're learning something from Scripture. It is a time in which you're meeting with God, and God is speaking to you. The voice of Christ, I think the Scripture teaches us, is actually being heard through the preacher. And so what I emphasize, and there's a lot that can be said in that regard, but what I emphasize is that while we cover the points of the text and the information that is there and the ministry of the word out of that, but you need to think of yourself or think of worship with preaching is that this is a particular feeding of God's people. God's people are his sheep. And so for today, you have selected a certain portion of the Bible. All of the Bible is the pasture from which God, but today there is a particular portion of that. And God has in mind to communicate a particular message. That's the message you want to make sure that when the people leave and live their life in the week, they will remember, this is what God said to me today. And that's the idea of preaching with purpose. What purpose are you seeking to accomplish with this sermon? Obviously, it needs to be guided by the word, not the idea of okay, I have found a text that I can bring my favorite topic and bring it in there. No, that's not preaching, but building it out of that text so that it is clear to the listener what God has said to them in the sermon.
Yeah, I've always used the illustration because I have taught a preaching course here and wrote my dissertation on how to apply in a sermon or in the classroom in the Bible. Is what's the one thing you want them to walk away with? When you watch commercials, good commercials will have that one thing. Where's the beef? Now we know that's Wendy's commercial. Arby's is we got the meats. And then there's a whole host of other ones.
Those just preaching we have Christ.
Yeah. And so when we get to a certain passage, that one thing that you want people to walk away with, you also want it to be from that passage. You said that. Too many one-pointers or too many main points or themes or whatever ends up being the whole Bible. Yeah. Instead of saying, okay, no, you're in Titus 2. Whatever your last thing needs to be that these people are walking home with ought to direct them back to that Titus 2 so they could be like good Bereans later searching the scriptures to see if what you said was Titus 2.
And when I speak about that aspect that you've responded to here as well in terms of what do we want people to leave with as what God has spoken them this morning. I don't have in mind that we dumb down the sermon and just have a few catchphrases that that's all there is. No. We mind the text, but always in terms of organizing the sermon in such a way that all of the depth of theology in their text reinforce that one thought that God leaves with you. That's what I find so helpful in this book and other things as well in Preaching with Purpose.
So your third book here, which is new to me, I've not read it yet, but I've got the chance over this past summer to see you interact with it. And, you read it and then bring it to the class. And I think you had your class where you do this, and y'all spent a few minutes each day talking about some of the readings there. And like I said, John Piper is one of those guys that, all of his theology I don't agree with, but his passion and his enthusiasm behind the pulpit, I can get behind. I want that to be contagious.
So this book, and the purpose of my assigning this book, is not so much as a, or you might say, a textbook on preaching.
And what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Expository Exaltation. And it speaks to the very point. And that is, I found it a useful book as additional reading to the textbooks of the course. And that is, it really emphasizes, and we go back to worship. Worship is, first of all, a special meeting with God. And I like to emphasize the fact that in New Testament worship began by celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And it's a celebration. It's not a downer. It's not a funeral service, if you will. It's literally a wedding feast, a celebration. And therefore, preaching in that celebration is a word of, as he uses it, exaltation unto the Lord. It is a celebration. And that's the emphasis that you will find in that book, and I think very helpful. It's not, as you say, we have some issues with some of his theology and so on. But I found that aspect, and I the opportunity I had a few years ago to listen to him, not in a worship service, but essentially giving a message in a context, impressed me with that, because he really, you could tell that what he was speaking, the word of life, the gospel message, the good news of the gospel meant, he felt it in his heart, and it came out in the way. And that's the thing that I think is useful for preaching.
Oh, absolutely. I think enthusiastic preaching, passionate preaching is going to be felt. It's going to be felt. Now, I've also, made fun or kid around and made the point of a lot of churches have doors close to, if not behind the pulpit, because preaching of what we're describing will not only be felt by those who are longing to hear God's word, it's also going to be felt and heard by people that don't really want to hear the gospel at all. And you got to have that exit strategy. they're going to be the ones coming up to you. And a part of seminary is making students aware that, hey, you preach the gospel, it's going to do exactly what God intends it to do. It's going to soften the hearts that God wants the hearts to be soft, and it's going to harden hearts too. And so just because we may end up getting somebody coming up to us, and I'm saying this from an experience I had in an internship, where the pastor pulled me his office and raised that question. Now, I exhorted that Sunday, and he asked me, he says, let's say, for example, this was the hypothetical question he raised. The elders thanked you for preaching the gospel, but you got a family coming up to you saying, they can't believe I would have said that. That was the worst sermon they've ever heard of. He goes, how would you respond to that? And I said, personally, I would thank them and then walk away. And he goes, okay, well, you're not really dealing with them. And I go, no, I'd want the elders to deal with them. But his point, overall point, was the elders were your litmus test there. They were the ones saying the gospel was proclaimed, not this one individual. One individual probably got some, in the South, in certain churches, they probably got their toes stepped on. The Spirit probably did a number on them, and they're not real happy. The elders, on the other hand, have been gifted by God with, Lord willing, discernment and other things to be able to say, Pastor, thank you for the gospel. We're excited to hear it again next week. And that's the aspect of that John Piper type of preaching. When you preach with enthusiasm, and it's not just Piper, Sproul had it, others had it. I think quite a number of guys in our denomination have got it. And I love listening to it. And it's this, what the Puritans called unction. It's a gift. And when that is shown the church is going to grow in the quality of its members and quantity, Lord willing. But
you use another phrase, the Word of God, and especially preaching the Word of God, which I believe is there's a whole other area we could cover here, but the Bible is the Word of God written. Preaching is the Word of God spoken.
Yeah.
Based on that scripture.
Yeah.
And the Word of God is never neutral.
No.
And so preaching is never neutral.
It's not safe.
It's not safe.
Right? I had somebody describe my preaching that way. Your preaching is not safe. And I'm going, I don't know what that means. I get it now.
Right. Yeah. Preaching is either going to make the child of God who is a far cry from where he ought to be, is going to make him squirm in church, and hopefully it'll awaken in him. And there may be those that are there who won't want to come back because they're being put in the spot. And that's then preaching is doing what preaching is supposed to do.
For a whole other day, we could spend some time dealing with the evangelistic aspect of preaching too, because that's something we didn't get to cover, is the fact, because you started out by saying this is going to be foreign to some people. And when last time we were talking about reformed worship, especially here with preaching, the Apostle Paul brings that up in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You come in here and it's foreign, a foreign language. I don't know what's going on here. And then they get up and walk out. But when it's something that they can hear and understand, what's the realization they come to?
Right.
Christ is alive. That's the message. Well, thank you again for joining us here from the classroom, in the classroom at Heidelberg Seminary. And we pray that you be blessed with these podcasts. We also ask that you check out HeidelbergSeminary.org. Hit the support tab. Find ways of supporting us here at the seminary, the ministry that we offer, and training in for open ministry for students that are looking and preparing. You can give us a contact. Our contact information is on there as well. We look forward to talking to you. Blessings, and thank you once again.